We'll pick up tonight as we get going in this second part of the lesson, Behold the Man, Your King, Your God. And so in a way of remembrance in the previous lesson, especially if you weren't here, just a little bit of focus in John chapter 19 at verse 1, I think we made it all the way to verse 7, and so we'll be picking up after that here. What we saw was we saw Pilate, who was no friend of the Jews, and we saw historically he even tried to eliminate the Jews at one time. We saw Pilate three times he would ask questions of in a course of dealing with the Jews and dealing with Jesus, and three times he gets comes to the conclusion that he finds no fault with Jesus. And understand, the Jews now, they've taken Jesus to Pilate, and they want Pilate to crucify him, and yet he finds no fault in him, and he's struggling with that. And we saw the prophetic words that come from John chapter 1, verses 5 and verse 11, and again at verse 29, and that the idea is that the darkness would try to overcome the light. The light came into the world. The darkness wanted to overcome it. And we saw a parallel there between the people who were refusing truth, refusing the light, and they just wanted simply to have Jesus killed. And in verse 11 of John 1, we read that he came into his own, and his own did not receive him. And there's one thing about that I didn't bring out. When that says he came into his own, that first word own literally means his area, his country, the world really. He came into what he possesses, the whole world, and the people in the world, his own, did not receive him. And then of course, John, verse 129, we read that Jesus is the Lamb of God who came to take away the world. And John simply states in the very first verse of 19:1 that they scourged Jesus. They wanted to belittle Jesus. They wanted to make him worthless in the eyes of the people. They wanted to take away any hope at all that Jesus may have had some kind of stature as a king or as the Son of God, or they wanted to mock him, and they did so. They make him look like a king, although the intent was to reduce him down, not to elevate him up. They wanted Jesus beaten and defeated so that Pilate could present him to the people as somebody that's worthless, somebody that has no real value, and somebody that's unimportant, irrelevant, and somebody that is immaterial. And that way the people would just, okay, fine. I see that. There's nothing scary about Jesus. You can just let him go, and that's not at all what happened, because the Jews persisted. They wanted Jesus crucified, and they were going to say anything and do anything to reach that goal. Their purpose was to have his blood. And so after the scourgings, the beatings, and the mockings, and the Pilate puts this bloodied Jesus on display with a crown of thorns and with a purple robe on his back. Didn't matter. But when he put him on display, what was it that he said? He said, "Behold the man, your king." Pilate only wants to release Jesus. The Jews, they do everything they can to prevent that from happening, including threatening Pilate. They tell Pilate that we have a law, and according to our law, this man must die because he made himself the Son of God, verse 7. And something that I didn't mention before is that was actually true. You know, in Leviticus chapter 24, verses 12 through whatever, there was a woman's son who was of Israel, and he blasphemed the Lord. People heard that, and they took him to Moses, and Moses was told by God, you take that person outside the camp, and you get everybody who heard him blaspheme the Lord, and you have them lay their hands upon his head, and then you have the whole congregation stone him. So there is a law. If you blaspheme, then you're deserving of death. And so in their minds, Jesus blasphemed because he said he was the Son of God. And so they know that Pilate realized in our lesson, we saw Pilate realized that they were right. They have a law. His duty is to uphold that law, to enforce that law. Otherwise, he'll be facing Rome and their laws. And he's already gotten trouble enough times with that. And so we read there at verse 8 that Pilate, when he heard those things, we have a law. And when he heard those things, it says he was more afraid. Wasn't afraid of the Jews. Wasn't afraid of Jesus. He wasn't really afraid of anything there. He was afraid that word would get to the emperor in Rome and that he isn't doing his job. And he was afraid he was going to lose that position. And so, and then we realized that Pilate's just frustrated with this whole thing. He's frustrated with the Jews. He's frustrated with Jesus. It seems like he's caught in the middle. Exacerbated, Pilate, he leaves the Jews at that point and he returns again to Jesus. And that's where we're going to pick this up at verse 9. It says, and he went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, where are you from? But Jesus gave no answer. He goes into the praetorium, and just in case we didn't outline this, the praetorium is a simple thing. The NIV says it's a place. The NLT says it's the headquarters. The King James says it's a judgment hall. The Greek word, which is actually praetorion, it defines it as a place in which the governor or a procurator resides. That's where they live. And so that's what it was, his office, his place of living. And so once again, Pilate goes into his office and you can hear his frustrations as we read this, how irritated Pilate is over all of this. And he's asking Jesus this simple question and he's so frustrated. At this point, Pilate has asked Jesus five questions. Okay, five questions, and he hasn't gotten but maybe one direct answer. For a man in the position of authority that he's in, when he asks a question, he expects a straight answer and he's not getting it. You know, just like the people of the world today. You know, you can't quite get a straight answer. And how frustrating that is. In 1833, not the year, but chapter 18, verse 33, Pilate says, are you king? No direct answer from Jesus. Jesus simply poses a question, are you speaking of yourself about this or did someone else tell you? No direct answer. Frustrating. 18 verse 35. Pilate says, what have you done? Again, Jesus gives no direct answer, but he says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have fought you so that I would not be delivered to you, but my kingdom is not of this world. And Pilate's, his mind's spinning. What's that have to do with the question that I asked you? And then finally in chapter 18, verse 37, you know, Pilate, are you a king? Finally he gets an answer. You know, Jesus answered him. You say rightly, I am king. For this cause I was born and for this cause I came into the world that I should be a witness to the truth and everyone who hears the truth hears my voice. He finally got an answer, but it didn't sink in. You know, we talked about that this morning. It didn't sink in. Even today, people don't get it. Jesus is the king of all things, the king of kings. And people, they just don't hear the answer because they can't hear the words of Jesus. And then in 18 verse 38, he's frustrated. He's really frustrated. And you know, what is truth? And he didn't even wait for an answer. What is truth, Pilate says, and he turns away and walks out. You can see that. And so now in verse 9 here again, he's asking, where are you from? Where are you from, Jesus? That's what he's asking. And he is so aggravated. Everything he has tried to do to set Jesus free has failed. Everything he's tried to speak to the Jews and reason with them, tried to get answers from Jesus, tried belittling Jesus, making him look like nothing, making him look like a fool, presenting him to the people, exacerbating Jesus. And Jesus isn't helping. The Jews aren't helping. Jesus isn't helping. And Pilate just doesn't understand. And I imagine this scene. I want you to think about this, because we have to understand Jesus is in control. But here's Pilate, and he's got to be walking back and forth. You know, Jesus is sitting or here, and Pilate's over here, and he's just, what is going on here, Jesus? What is it that you're doing? No answer. Why are you here? No answer. Where did you come from, Jesus? No answer. Don't you understand that I have the power to destroy you? I have the power to kill you? I have the power to let you go? And I don't understand. You're not helping me at all. I scourged you. I mocked you. I had a crown pressed into your head. I caused you to bleed. I put a robe on you. I paraded you out like a fool in front of the people so that they would let you go, so that they wouldn't be worried about you. What's going on here? I had the soldiers, they spit on you. They beat you with their hands. They laughed at you. And I don't understand, Jesus. What in the world? Those Jews, they still want you dead. Why won't you answer me? What is going on? Why won't you help me help you be freed? And to Pilate's amazement, even in this final question, what we read there is, but Jesus gave him no answer. The silence of Jesus is really what's on display here. Jesus not answering him is the focus. That's the purpose behind what John is recording. And John has made this point throughout this gospel of his. And the point is very simple. We think we're in control. We think we're doing the right thing. We think that we have the capacity to control our environment and our future, our eternal soul. And you know what? Jesus is in control. Jesus. Jesus is in control. He was in control when he drove out the money changers in the church. He was in control when he fed 5,000 hungry, needy people. He was in control when he was on that boat and the disciples were worried that the boat was going to sink because of the storm and the waves and the wind. And Jesus was in control. Peace be still, he said. Jesus was in control when they took him and tried to stone him. And what did he do? He just walked right through him and disappeared. He was in control. And when they came to the garden to take him by force, 600 plus the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief officers of the temple with swords and weapons and lanterns and Jesus was in control. He said to them, "Whom do you seek?" You remember that? Whom do you seek? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Bam! They stepped back and fell down at the words. He was showing them there, I am in control of this situation. And when Peter came with his wailing sword flipping around, chopping off Malchus's ear, Jesus says, "Put up thy sword, for this reason I came. I'm going to drink this cup. I'm in control here, Peter. We don't need the worldly fighting and battling. My kingdom's not of this world. Peter, put that sword away. I'm in complete control. Jesus is in control. Listen. He has no desire to have a conversation with Pilate about all this. He's not going to, well, let's talk, Pilate. Let's figure a way here that you can get me out of all this trouble. You know what I could do, Pilate? I could prove to you that I am the Son of God. I could do a whole bunch of miracles right here and now for you. I have the power. I am king. I can prove it. I could show you miracle after miracle. I could convince you. No. No, no, no. Jesus did not want to be released. Nothing Pilate is going to say is going to get him freed. Nothing that the Jews may have a change of heart would ever change the fact that Jesus has a mission. And he is not going to let Pilate or anybody else get in the way. Not Peter, not anybody, no one. He is in control. And he's not going to ask Pilate to get him out. He's not going to ask Pilate to keep him from the cross. Jesus is in control. You think about what Jesus could have done. He could have walked through the walls and just disappeared. He could have caused all the guards to fall down around him and just walked out, just like he did in the garden. He could have called 12 legions of angels. And you know how many that is? It's 6,826 times 12 equals 81,912 angels. He could have called them with a single thought. Jesus could have wiped them all out. He's God. And when you're thinking about these things that are being recorded here, remember this is why they're being recorded. John wants you and me and everyone in the world that reads these words to understand that by these words we can believe. This man that we talked about this morning, behold the man, this man, Jesus, is being beaten horribly. Bloodied, the crown of thorns, the mock, everything that's happened to him, that's happening to him as a man. And John wants you to see that Jesus. He wants you to see the one who went through all those things and had the power to stop it and didn't stop it because it was his choice. His choice in the garden was to allow himself to be arrested. And he wasn't going to let Peter or anybody else stop him. His choice in this trial was to allow himself to be convicted, to allow himself to be sent out to be crucified. Jesus didn't want to be freed. For this reason I came into this world. That was my purpose. I'm not going to drink the cup that the Father gave me to drink. Yes, I am. Jesus has control. I am not going to get out of the beatings. I'm not going to get out of the scourgings. I am not going to get out of the spitting. I'm not going to get out of the humiliation. No, because I love the world so much that I came into the world that whoever believes in me can have eternal life. Never perish. And all we have to do is be one-tenth as humble as Jesus. We've got to look at the man right now. You're hearing these things. Look at the man, Jesus, who did this for you. And he had no intention of getting out of the crucifixion. That's where he was headed. And nothing was going to stop him. Even though Jesus had all the power necessary to put it all to an end. Look at that man. Open your heart. Understand that obeying him and following him is not that big a deal compared to what he did to allow you to do that. So that leads us to the sixth question now. Remember, he's had five questions. So here's the sixth question in verse 10. We look at verse 10 here. Here's what we read. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me?" This is because Jesus didn't answer. "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" Wait a minute. Power? Really? Power. You know that word power is the exact same word that's used in Matthew chapter 28 verse 18. Jesus said, "All authority, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth." Pilate saying, "I have all power. I have the power." He doesn't have the power. Just like I don't have the power. You don't have the power. You can't be saved without Jesus. You don't have that kind of power. And any person who believes that they have the power to control, to change the course of God's will is fooling themselves. I believe that we've sufficiently addressed that issue upside down and sideways in this morning's lesson. And you think about Pilate. Pilate, you don't have the power. You don't have any control over the situation. Jesus does. And that's stated unequivocally in verse 11. You know, we look at verse 11, Jesus answered. He says, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. You couldn't have taken me in and had me scourged. You couldn't have had me beaten. You couldn't have had me mocked and spit on. You couldn't have had a crown of thorns pushed into my head. You couldn't have put a robe on me except it was given you from above. You don't have any power. You think you got power?" He says, "Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." He didn't have any power. It's truly amazing. Now, you think about this. It's truly amazing what happens. You could have no power at all, he says. But think about what happens next. Think about that. Look at what he said in verse 12. From then on, Pilate sought to release him. From then on, Pilate sought to release him. Pilate sought to release him. He doesn't get it. He's still trying to get Jesus out of there. And it says, from then on. We don't have any idea. We have no idea whatsoever how many other things Pilate must have tried to do to get Jesus freed from this inevitable end. How many ways he thought of trying to do something. How many different methods he sought. Ways of finding out, how can I get Jesus out of here and freed from all this? I find no fault with him. I find no fault with him. I found no fault with the man at all. And we know from other Gospels, for example, Matthew 27, 18, Mark 15, 10, we know why the Jews are doing this all together. It was not because he blasphemed. It was not because he made himself out to be king. It wasn't because of the miracles and the healings. It was because people were following Jesus instead of them, and they were envious. They were jealous. That's why. And look at verse 12 again. We look at that part. But the Jews cried out. If you let this man go, you're not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. You know, first they, in the morning lesson, the first, what did they do? The first thing they told Pilate, you're not doing your job. We have a law. This man blasphemed, and we have a law. He should die, and you're not doing your job because you're not upholding the law. And if you don't uphold that law, we're going to tell Rome, and Rome's going to take you down. That was the first thing they laid upon his shoulders. And now they're saying, you're not upholding the interests of the emperor. This guy says he's a king. Anybody that says he's a king is speaking against the emperor. You're in a boatload of trouble, guy. You are in big trouble. Pilate, you're not doing your job. You're working against the emperor. We're going to tell him. This man says he's a king, and you better do something about it. You know, pinning him down in a corner. But remember, Jesus is in control. This was planned before the foundation of the world that Jesus would die on a cross. Well, who's going to stop that? Who's greater than God? Nobody. You're not Caesar's friend if you don't do something to this man who claimed or made himself out to be king. Keep it up, Pilate. Just keep trying to get him loosed. And we're going to send word to the emperor. What happens now? What happens now in verse 13? When Pilate heard these words. When Pilate heard this saying, this is when it's all over. And you know what we're reading here is we're reading a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of heart, a change of attitude, whatever you want to call it. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, and I can relate that to my own salvation. I was somebody who didn't believe. I would have been them Jews. Crucify him, crucify him. I don't want this Jesus in my life. And I was blessed with the ability to read, and I looked at Jesus. I beheld the man. And I looked at Jesus. And I had a change of heart. Here, unfortunately, Pilate's heart is being broken up. It says, he heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Listen, picture this. He goes in, he brings Jesus out, he knows that all his attempts have failed to free Jesus, and Jesus' threats. The threats, they're mounting. Pilate doesn't have a choice. He's pinned in a corner. And he knows that if he sets Jesus free, his job's done. He's already had, historically, we looked at that this morning, lots of trouble. He's already had a lot of trouble with Rome. So he goes back in. He brings Jesus out. He sets Jesus down, and then he's going to go sit on the judgment seat. And now, this is all against his own will. He's going to pass judgment. But right here, you got to take a pause here. They're over there. He's ready to sit down in his judgment seat. Jesus is ready to be condemned, and he's waiting, and it's all in his mind, it's all happening, but you gotta stop. You gotta pause. Something very important is happening here. John is gonna record something, and it's not what you expect. You would think that the very next words would be, "And he was judged. You're guilty. Crucify him. Be done with it." No, look at what it says in verse 14. "Now it was the preparation day for the Passover in about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, 'Behold your king.'" Listen, it was the prep. Why did John slip that in there? It's the preparation day. Jesus is going to be crucified. He's going to be condemned. And Pilate's right, just ready to sit down. And you slip in there, "Well, it's the preparation day before the Passover." Why do you put that in there? Remember, every word of God is not arbitrary. There's no words that don't belong. There's nothing superfluous. Nothing unnecessary. John wants us to know something. He wants us to know something very significant. The day of the preparation of the Passover was the day before it was to happen. It was the day when the lambs were to be slaughtered. Make the connection. Connect the dots. John is saying, before the verdict is passed, remember, this is the day of the Passover, the day that the lambs will be slaughtered. What lamb? This has been emphasized three times. The lamb without guilt. Jesus, "I find no fault with him. I find no fault with him. I find no fault with him at all." Look at that man right now in your hearts. That's Jesus. The Lamb of God. No guilt. The Lamb of God without sin. This is the Lamb of God. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 1, verse 29. Look at that. I'm going to put it on the screen. Listen. John chapter 1, 29. "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.'" This is Jesus. This is who I want you to be looking at right now. This is why these scriptures are written, so that you may believe and that you may be saved by these beliefs. He is the Lamb of God without sin. He is the one who's going to be slaughtered for the sins of mankind, for my sins, for your sins. And it's a simple fact. I've brought this up many times. Historical fact. Josephus and other historians, they wrote about this. It happened. This man, it happened. His blood would soon be shed as the Passover Lamb of God for the sins of mankind. And because of that, God would withhold his wrath. He would pass over the sins that certainly would have fallen upon us had Jesus not died on that cross. And if we don't accept that, and if we don't allow the blood of that lamb to cleanse us, God's wrath will fall upon us in one day soon. That's why we have this moment, this turning point statement here in John chapter 14. Don't hear the judgment yet. Hold on. Hold on. See the Lamb of God. See the Lamb of God. See Jesus, the one who was slain on that cross for the sins of the world. And Pilate's words, sure and true, as though they were shot by a bowman, "Behold your king. Not behold the man. We studied that in the morning. Behold your king. All those things that happened to Jesus, the man, are simply to elevate our hearts to understand He is our King. He is your King. Behold the King. Look at Him now within your heart. Look at Him now. See what the Scriptures have said about Jesus. He is your King. Behold your King. My friends, this is why the gospel was written. This was John's purpose in the gospel. This is what John wanted us to understand through the Holy Spirit. He wants you to see. He wants you to behold. He wants you to know. He wants you to believe. These are historical facts. This is your King. This is the one who came into the world to take away the sins of the world. Behold your King. And I'll tell you, my friends, today, through this record, you can see truth. When Pilate said, "What is truth?" There's your truth. And to know God, to know truth, that's what eternal life is. That's what Jesus taught in His prayer in John chapter 17 at verse 2. We can, through the Scriptures, hear. We can, through the Scriptures, see. We can, through the Scriptures, behold our King, the Lamb of God. But what was the response of the people? We can read that in verse 15. They cried out, "Away with Him! Away with Him! Crucify Him!" That was their response. When the Lord Jesus Christ is presented to you like He is tonight, what are you saying in your heart? Are you saying, "Away with Him! Away with Him! Crucify Him! Get Him out of my life!" That's what they're saying. We don't want Him. And what, you know what you notice? Pilate's still trying. He's still trying. You see what he said there? "Shall I crucify your King?" And so the Jews are prompted to speak the most damning words that were ever spoken by a Jew. Especially in the first century. Jews that hated the Romans. Jews that hated that control. Jews that set up wars to try to defeat Caesar. But they hated Jesus more. And they uttered those words, "We have no king but Caesar." Who's your king? Who's your Caesar? Is it your selfishness? Your self-centeredness, your self-sufficientness, "I don't need any of this stuff"? Who's your king? Those words, it's just almost impossible that they were uttered out of the mouth of Jews at that time. History records the Jews. They revolted. They started wars with Rome, and they tried again and again and again to get out of from under the control of Rome, and they lost every time. And that makes their words even more shocking. "We have no king but Caesar." John chapter 1, again, prophetically explains all this to us. Jesus came to His own, to the world, the things He possessed, and to His own, the people of that world, did not receive Him. Will you receive Jesus? Or are you part of that prophecy? He was the true light that came into the world, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Are you choosing darkness over light? This has been recorded for our benefit. It's recorded to reach into your heart that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Recorded for you that so that you might believe, that you might be one of the many who have received Jesus and have been given the right to become the children of God. John chapter 1 verse 12. Behold the man, your king. You know, from this morning's lesson and to this lesson tonight, I just want to leave you with one thought. You know, you must see that Pilate is stuck. He's just stuck. He doesn't know what to do. He's being forced down a road that he doesn't really want to go down. He wants to do right. Maybe that's like us. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that, you know, it's in the back of the mind. I want to do right. I want to repent. I want to confess Jesus. I want to be baptized. But you're just letting something hold you back. You're stuck. So what are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with Jesus right now, tonight? Take a long look at this gospel, at the message. Look, behold the man, behold your king. Literally, behold your God. He was scourged and abused for you. He was mocked for you. He was bloodied for you. He was beaten for you. He was laughed at and mocked for you. He was put on display and counted as absolutely nothing, trash for you. He was portrayed as a nobody and nothing. He spit on, treated shamefully, without any repercussions, because he was in control for you, for your sake. For my sake, Jesus was innocent. And now, through the scripture, we can know the truth. We can know what is truth. Look at Jesus. Consider the words, behold your king. And I ask you, what's your response? What will you say now? Will you say, crucify him? I don't want him in my life. Will you say he's nothing? I don't even think he's real. He's nothing to me. Away with him. Stop talking about him. Are you ruling your life according to your own will? Are you being your own king? Are you doing as you please? Is that really what you want? Or will you receive him? Will you come to him in faith and repentance, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of the living God, being baptized for the remission of your sins, and then submitting your rest of your life to his control? Just doing simply what he asks. My friends, that's the point of the gospel. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Behold the man. Behold the king. Behold your God. What will your answer be? We have a song of invitation tonight. And surprisingly, that's the title. What will your answer be? Song number 837. Someday you'll stand at the bar on high. Someday your record you'll see. Someday you'll answer the question of life. What will your answer be? I hope the answer is to believe and be baptized. I hope the answer may be for some to repent of sin. Whatever it is, I'm inviting you now to come forward as we stand and as we sing.